presented by Blue Cross Blue Shield Association.
Good Thursday morning, I'm Nirmal Malaikal, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing. Here's what's driving the day in D.C. Let's start with two numbers, 56 and 82. 56 is New York Representative Elise Stefanik's last rating from the Heritage Action Scorecard. Now, that's a failing grade. 82 is Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney's score from the same group. A solid B-, nothing to sneeze at. Once upon a time, a low rating from that group could scare the hell out of Republicans who strayed from the organization's policy choices. But now, many House Republicans are coalescing around the person who scored a 56, Stefanik. She seems to have a good shot at replacing Cheney as the GOP conference chair. Why? Well, here's what we know. At least two important Republicans aren't pleased with Cheney. First, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Here he is caught unaware on a hot mic during a Fox interview earlier this week talking about Cheney. That's courtesy of tape provided by Axios.
I think she's got real problems. I've had it with her. It's, you know, I've lost confidence. Well, someone just has to bring a motion, but I assume that would probably take place.
The big test, though, for Cheney? Former President Donald Trump doesn't support her and instead supports Stefanik. And that's pretty much all that matters. Why? Well, I'll let the former president explain his relationship to the Republican Party.
We fell in love.
Now, how does Cheney view all of this? Is she going out with a fight? Well, kinda sorta. Publicly, at least according to her explosive Washington Post op-ed Wednesday afternoon, she argued that the GOP, quote, is at a turning point. She said Republicans, quote, must decide whether we are going to choose truth and fidelity to the Constitution. And if they side with Trump instead, she wrote, quote, there is good reason to believe that Trump's language can provoke violence again. Her op-ed basically sounds like it was written by someone who knows they are fighting a losing but noble political battle. Privately, House Republican sources have told Politico that Cheney is, quote, checked out and already accepting her fate. And to keep her position, a source close to her said she intends to lean on the argument that leaders should be able to say what they think is right without repercussions. Now, what's our takeaway from all of this? House Republicans moving to remove Cheney looks like one of those historical hinge moments, a party solidifying around the idea of loyalty to a single person, even if that person is not in office. Before we continue with our news roundup, here's what's on President Joe Biden's agenda today. At 9:30 a.m., Biden will receive his daily brief. Then at 10:10, he will leave the White House for Lake Charles, Louisiana. There, he'll deliver remarks about the American Jobs Plan. At 2:30, he will leave for New Orleans to tour a local water plant. And at 5:40, he will depart from New Orleans back to the White House. We got more details yesterday about the housing arrangement between Kevin McCarthy and Frank Luntz, which made headlines this week after being reported and heavily criticized by Fox News host Tucker Carlson. If Luntz's name doesn't ring a bell, he's a longtime GOP pollster and consultant who's worked for numerous corporate clients. And recently, Luntz said there, quote, isn't a shred of hope for Donald Trump to re-enter politics after the January 6th insurrection. This week, though, Luntz made headlines for more personal reasons. On Fox News, Carlson questioned whether the housing arrangement between Luntz and McCarthy was even allowed, and if the closeness of their relationship had too much influence on the Republican Party. Carlson also had one other question.
Is Kevin McCarthy paying $5,000 every month to Frank Luntz to live in his house? We would love to know the answer. We asked several times of his office and no one got back to us with an answer.
Well, Tucker, yesterday we got an answer. The Washington Post reported that Luntz has a 7,000-square-foot, 12-bedroom mega apartment. It's made from combining four penthouses, I repeat, four, that cost him nearly $4.3 million in 2018. Rent on a place like that would be astronomical, tens of thousands of dollars. So what was McCarthy paying? The Washington Post reports he's only paying $1,500 per month. The reason he's able to get away away with paying that price to Luntz? He's claiming that's the fair market value for the single bedroom he rents. I wonder what Tucker Carlson will say after hearing those numbers. I mean, imagine paying $1,500 a month for what is essentially a mansion carved into a high-rise. My two takeaways? Luntz's apartment kinda sounds like my dream home. And it's good to be the minority leader.
As we turn to this new phase, we're also setting a new goal. 2 months from today, 2 months from today, families across the country are gonna celebrate the 4th of July. Our goal by July 4th is to have 70% of adult Americans at least one shot and 160 million Americans fully vaccinated.
After the president this week set an ambitious goal to get 70% of Americans vaccinated by July 4th and return to normal, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is starting to open up. How much, however, remains unclear, in part because White House officials are reluctant to say. What we do know, the White House is offering vaccines to all employees through its medical units and allows staff to take time off to get vaccinations. But that rarely happens since the shots are available on the grounds themselves. The White House would not say what percentage of its staff has been vaccinated. When asked if vaccination was required to work in person, an official said only that it was encouraged, offered to all staff, and provided by the White House. Subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook, and make sure to check out our new weekly podcast, Playbook Deep Dive. Tomorrow, Playbook author Eugene Daniels looks at how covering the White House has changed for himself and other Black White House correspondents. I'm Nirmal Malaikal, filling in this week. Thanks, and have a wonderful day.
The United States has the highest maternal death rate of any developed nation, and racial disparities are a key factor. That's why Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies are confronting this crisis. They've launched a multi-year nationwide health equity strategy, starting with a goal to reduce racial disparities in maternal health by 50% over the next 5 years, building a more equitable system for the health of America.